guys. I'm Viola Benson. Welcome to Too Tired to Be Crazy. With me, Viola Benson. I do that every time. Today is another solo episode, and we are going to focus on something that a lot of you asked me to talk about, which is basically going to be about self-love and self-growth and kind of how to love yourself. So what I started to do was my usual thing where I did a ton of research on how to love yourself. And I think during my research, something made me realize that I could give you guys a bunch of facts and tell you these are the ways for you to love yourself and give you steps, or I can speak from my heart. And to me personally, I feel like I understand things better, and I always listen to things better when it comes from someone's heart. So I have a niece, and she is only 2 years old. And it's been really fun to watch her kind of discover the world and see what she loves and to see her just like see everything for the first time and get super excited about everything. And recently, one of her favorite things has been to just look at herself in the mirror. She just loves looking at her own reflection. And I find that like adorable and endearing. And my mom told me that I used to be like that too. Always super eccentric. And I used to love looking at myself in the mirror as a child, and it got me thinking, at what age did we stop doing that? When did it suddenly become not okay for us to look at ourselves and love the way we look? At what age did we start looking at ourselves in the mirror and suddenly start to see our flaws instead of be as excited as my niece at 2 years old and love her reflection? At what age did we start to believe that no one loved us because we clearly didn't love ourselves? At what age did we stop loving ourselves? When did I stop enjoying my own reflection? And when did I start judging myself so harshly? And I know I'm not the only one. And that's why I kind of really was excited to do this episode. So for me, I guess it was at the age of 5. And again, this is something I was trying not to talk about. I really just wanted to do research. I wanted to just give you guys a bunch of facts and then tell you to love yourselves. But I knew it wasn't going to be fair. I feel like in order for me to tell you to love yourself, I have to first talk about what it took for me to learn how to love myself. So that's why I decided to share something really personal that I've never talked about before. So bear with me. Growing up, for me, my dream was always to be beautiful. And I know it feels like a really shallow dream to admit something like this, but I think it's because I just never felt like I was. I always thought that if I was beautiful, it would solve everything. People will finally want to be around me more. My crush would like me finally and maybe call me back. My dad would love me. I literally thought if I was beautiful, then my dad would actually want to be around me growing up. I thought that if I was beautiful, then I would do better in school. I would actually want to show up and I would fit in because I was just so tired of always feeling different. And I know I said I won't talk about any research, but quick research. Research shows that 1 out of 3 teenagers won't participate in a classroom debate because they don't want to draw attention to the way they look. 1 in 5 are not showing up to class anymore at all on days they don't feel good about themselves. Research found that specifically, if you don't think you're thin enough, you will score a lower grade point average than your peers who are not concerned about this. So this is consistent. This research is consistent across Finland, US, and China. Low body confidence is now affecting and undermining academic achievements. So the way I was feeling that if I was beautiful enough, I would do better in school, it didn't come from nothing. It literally came from this actual research. And of course, it gets worse every year. This research is from like a few years ago, so I'm sure it's worse now. But let me tell you exactly why my dream was always to be beautiful. And because that's a weird dream for a kid. Usually someone's like, I want to be a scientist, or I don't know, Britney Spears. And I'm like, I just want to be beautiful because that would solve everything. And the reason is that I stopped liking to look at myself in the mirror when I was 5 is because I was born a little bit different. And I didn't know this until I was 5. And I was in first grade. And up till 5, I love smiling. And I was told that I was one of the happiest kids ever. I was just always walking around, always happy, always smiling. And I remember in first grade, which is crazy because it's so many years ago, but I still remember this. certain things just like affect us, you know, and we remember. So I remember in first grade, I was my usual self walking around smiling. And I remember I was going up the stairs and there were a few kids going down the stairs. In the school that I was in, it was first grade all the way up till eighth grade. So when I was going up the stairs, there were eighth graders going down the stairs and they saw me and they saw me smile and they pushed me to the corner. They huddled around me and they all started making fun of me. And they were like, oh my God, why do you look like that? What's wrong with you? Dude, what's wrong with your face? Oh my God, why are your teeth so yellow? Do you smoke? Holy shit. This bitch is 5 years old and she already smokes cigarettes. Girl, you better stop smoking because your teeth are disgusting. I would never smile if I were you. And things like that. So they saw these things to me. And I was, of course, as a five-year-old, mortified, aside from the fact that I was surrounded by a bunch of really tall, big kids. They were all making fun of me and telling me that I should never smile again and asking me if I smoked cigarettes, which obviously I never touched. I was only 5 years old. And I didn't understand what they were talking about. And I just started crying because like any kid would. And I cried and I called my mom and I asked her to come pick me up. And my mom picked me up and she took me home. And I remember I was, I hate talking about this stuff. And I remember I was, okay, I just have to relax. This is a really sweet moment that I remember with my mother. I remember I was sitting there and I looked at my mom and I said, Mom, why would those kids say that to me? Is there something wrong with me? Why am I different? You, Dad, Karen, my sister, you guys don't have this thing that I have that I was just made fun of. What's wrong with me? And my mom looked at me and she said, listen, Violetta, when you were born, God made you so perfect and so beautiful. And he just thought it wouldn't be fair to all the other kids. So he had to give you just one little flaw. So then it would be fair. And that's where you were born a little bit different. And what I was born with was basically something called enamel deficiency. I was born in a third world country. I was born in Russia. And when I was born, my mom didn't have enough vitamins because there was lack of sun. So I literally was born with that, with the lack of vitamin D. And enamel deficiency just means that I have no enamel in my teeth. So all my teeth were incredibly yellow and, you know, misshaped. And it's not just the yellow part. Aside from them being incredibly yellow, nothing can cover it. There's also no enamel to protect my teeth, which is why I've had a cavity in every single tooth I have in my mouth. I've had over 15 root canals, probably more. And when it comes to covering my super yellow teeth, I've done everything from Lumineers to capsules to bondings to veneers to crowns. I've done it all. And we started at 5 years old because my mom couldn't handle watching me be so sad because I didn't want to go to school after that. And trust me, that day was one of the last days I smiled until I was older. I stopped smiling after that day because I felt disgusted with myself. And I remember that was the first day that I looked in the mirror and I did not like looking at what I saw because it was just right there. How could I smile? I was so disgusting. I had these gross teeth and I believed those kids when they told me I shouldn't smile. And it's also one of the reasons I've always stayed away from cigarettes, kind of because I was kind of traumatized from that experience. So at 5 years old, we started going to the dentist. In Israel, because that's where I grew up. So we went to the dentist once a week for 10 years until I moved to the US. I literally could breathe sugar and I would get a cavity from it. So imagine for 10 years going to the dentist once a week. That's how bad my teeth were. So it wasn't just the yellow part. It was everything. Let me get deeper into explaining what enamel deficiency means. Not only is your teeth incredibly yellow and I have no enamel, it also means that when I'm putting these bondings and capsules and Lumineers and even the type of veneers that are okay under insurance, it will, because my teeth are so yellow, they will show to the front. So no matter how much fake white stuff you put on top of my teeth in order to make my teeth look better, because my real teeth are so yellow, it would project to the front. And my teeth will still show and still look somewhat yellow. It may not be as bad as my real teeth, but it didn't matter what type of like Lumineers or veneers or anything that I had, the type of technology that was back then, my teeth would still come out yellow and there would still be like weird lines on it. And I constantly had to change my lumineers, change my capsules, change my bondings, change my veneers every couple of years, unlike regular people, because of the situation that my real teeth are in. Because it's a much different situation when you have no enamel at all. Like, literally, I could, like, bite on a water bottle too hard and a tooth would chip because my teeth were fake. Hey, guys, quickly want to take you away from my soft story and tell you about Simple Habit. It's a cool app. I've talked about it before. You benefit from it if you are going through any type of stress or anything like that, because it is a meditation type of app that everyone needs. If you're like me and you're sitting in traffic, or you just stress in general before you record this solo podcast, then you're going to need it. Simple Habit has hundreds of meditations available for free, but then you can also get thousands of different meditations with a premium subscription. They help you with specific problems in your life. So whether you're nervous about a big meeting, being a parent, dumping your boyfriend, anything like that, they have the right meditation for you. It's not just teaching you to meditate for the sake of meditation or that it's good for you. It's literally really helpful. They have a ton of therapists and life coaches that really help you. So if there's a therapist or life coach that you're not happy with, you can always find a new one. The awesome thing about this app is that, and unlike going to a classroom, you don't have to be at this... You don't have to be there for a whole hour, 2 hours to meditate and be surrounded with people if you're shy or if you don't have that much time. There's meditations that are even short, from 5 minutes all the way up to an hour. So it's whatever you choose. You don't have to sit in a specific position with your eyes closed in the silent room. You can literally do it while you're running errands, walking in the streets, washing your dishes, or even driving. There's the right meditation for you, like I said, from 5 minutes all the way up to an hour and more. They have over 100 experts. They have over 100 experts and they have like 65,000 five-star reviews. So you know it's good. So if you want to learn more about Simple Habit for a more relaxing type of lifestyle, go to simplehabit.com/violet to get the offer of 30% off of premium subscription for the first 50 listeners. So again, go to simplehabit.com/violet. For 30% off of your premium subscription, and it's only for the first 50 listeners. But like I said before, hundreds of meditations are available on this app for free. But if you want the little extra for those thousands of meditations that you maybe are more right for you, that's a premium subscription. So what you need to do is you go to simplehabit.com/violet and you will get 30% off of your premium subscription, but it's only for the first 50 listeners of Too Tired to Be Crazy. So make sure you hurry up after you're listening to my episode and get it before you can't get it anymore. My mom, of course, was always there to hold my hand through everything. And of course, I love her and I appreciate her for all of that. But it was hard because I constantly was walking around feeling different and I felt ugly. And I think whenever I started to get bullied growing up in school, my self-esteem was so low that I started to believe people. I hated photos of myself. And like I said, I never smiled. I remember a lot of times I felt so invisible and I felt like there was no one I could talk to. And I remember I always wished I had a public figure or someone that I could look up to, that would tell me that everything was okay. And look, I know that my situation may have not been as bad at all, but tell that to a little kid, tell that to a five-year-old, the things that it's the worst thing to ever happen to them. In my circumstances, I felt like that was the worst thing ever. And the thing is, when someone constantly keeps telling you how ugly you are and bullying you and telling you that you're disgusting, eventually you're going to start to believe them. So it didn't matter what I actually looked like. If I had green eyes, if I was tall, if I started to grow boobs when I was 13, none of that mattered. Because when I looked at myself, I felt disgusting because people told me that I was. I know that now when people look at me, I have very white teeth. That's because, and I'll get to that later, I have the rich people veneers. But I never was not able to get this until a few years ago. So until a few years ago, my parents, God bless them, were constantly paying to fix my teeth and it cost them 2 cars, maybe even a house. Insurance also covered it because it's a real medical issue, but they can never cover the full thing. So my parents paid half and insurance would pay half. And it's been a lot of doctor visits for me. So then we moved to the US. As if my life wasn't terrible enough, I was at 12 years old, I was already 5'8". At 13 years old, I started to grow boobs, but none of the other classmates had boobs yet. So I grabbed tape and I taped my whole chest around, my chest to my back. I put tape around in order for my chest to stop growing because I just wanted to fit in. I mean, it's crazy, I know. And I remember one day when my mom woke me up, she accidentally felt the tape on my chest and she freaked out. And she's like, Violeta, что это? Which means, Violeta, what is that? And I told her that it was to help me for my back pain. Because I lied. I was too embarrassed to admit that because my boobs were growing and I was trying to stop them. I just was so desperate to fit in. And she bought me a back brace. So not only did I have insecurities about my teeth, now I had to walk around with a back brace because my mom thought I had back issues. Anyway, moving to the U.S., it was rough. At 14, we moved to the U.S. because we won the green card lottery. And now I am a girl going through puberty. So I already am so awkward looking. Not only that, I have enamel deficiency. I was like, as a kid, you know, you have acne on your face. I had acne on my face, on my chest, on my back. I was chubby. It took me a while to like grow into my looks. And I still have teeth that I hate. And when I look at myself, I feel like a monster. And I feel invisible and I feel ugly. And I remember that when I moved there around 14, 15, I met a friend and she invited two boys to hang out with us. And I remember we were walking around and the boy that was with me, he looked at me and he said, "You're so beautiful when you smile." And I'm not kidding. I started crying because I thought he was making fun of me. And I was like, wow, that's so mean. Why would you be so mean to me? I want to go home. Because I couldn't believe that anyone else would find me beautiful. I couldn't believe that anyone else could look at my smile and think that I looked pretty. Because I didn't feel like I was. And the problem was that the way I grew up in a Russian home, we didn't talk about our feelings. And because my parents did everything they could financially to support me and to help me with my situation, I felt too guilty to ever admit that I was struggling emotionally and mentally. And I feel like I've always had a need to protect the people that I care about. So I constantly kept my feelings to myself from when I was young and I got bullied for it to even in the US. And I never told my parents. Every time if I got bullied and I cried about it in the bathroom, when I would come home, I always had a smile on my face and I always told my parents, wow, I made so many friends today. Everything's great. Boys like me. I'm popular. Just to make my parents feel better because I felt too guilty to tell them that someone made fun of me for my smile again and I'm too scared to talk to boys because I'm disgusting or the fact that I'm so fucking angry that I was born different and my sister can't relate and that my mom and my dad, there's literally nothing they can do to make it better. Because I know they did their best. But by the way, holding all your pain in is not a good thing. Trust me. When you harbor it all in, it gets really hard and it's heavy. And that is something I regret. But anyway, because I never felt beautiful, I think at one point I started collecting beautiful friends. It's this weird obsession that I started to have. I thought that in a weird way that if I got to surround myself with beautiful girls that maybe I would have finally feel beautiful about myself. And I remember I would sit and I would look at them and I would just wonder what it was like to be so beautiful. How much better my life would be if I looked like one of them. I don't know if I'm explaining it well enough, what was wrong with me or the pain that I was going through, but I'm not going to lie, it's very hard to just be talking to yourself, right? I'm literally just sitting talking to myself with a camera filming me. So it's hard to really get into it because I suppressed my pain about this for so long that it's hard to just kind of talk about it and pretend like I'm not strong. I mean, I am strong, but it's hard to show emotions. I'm not going to lie. So because of how I felt about how I looked, I was a late bloomer when it came to dating. I was too afraid of boys kissing me because I always felt like they deserved a normal girl. I didn't want a boy kissing me and then finding out what was wrong with my teeth or me chipping a tooth or them looking from closely and seeing some weird yellow lines because my real teeth were starting to show. And they're going to be like, ew, that's disgusting. Why would you even let me kiss you? Why wouldn't you tell me there's something wrong with you? Ugh, that's so gross. What if I get that? You know, that was my thought process. And again, I never talked to anyone about it because I was too embarrassed, because I didn't think anyone would understand. So I stared away from boys and I kept to myself. And I don't think my first kiss was maybe when I was 17. And it was basically, I had a boyfriend, the first guy that noticed me. I was so insecure that I just thought, okay, you'll do. And you can treat me however you want because I'm ugly and I'm disgusting and I don't love myself. So, but you'll do. I can't believe you're even looking at me. That's kind of how I felt. One of the sad things is that I always want to talk to somebody about this. And I remember my second boyfriend who was cheating on me all the time. One time he was sleeping. And that's when I started to tell him my insecurities and about my teeth. And I was like, I'm just scared you're not going to love me if you knew what was wrong with me. Because it started to become an obsession for me to be beautiful. And I just never felt beautiful. And I always thought if I was beautiful, then all my problems would be solved and people will love me. That's crazy, but I always thought that no one's gonna love me until I'm beautiful. And I just wasn't beautiful with those teeth. Anyway, luckily when I was 20 years old, I made some friends and it was really cool because they can kind of feel that I was insecure about my teeth. And they knew my teeth were a little yellow and they started to make jokes with me. And basically, I guess because I'm foreign, instead of saying enamel, maybe I said like laminol or something. So they started to be like, there's something wrong with my laminol. And then they made a joke. And instead of me being upset, I started to laugh. And I remember it became like a joke. So instead of me calling it enamel, I called it laminol. And it was the weirdest thing that I found out that when you can laugh at yourself, it's the pain is no longer yours. It's like you set the pain free because the minute I started making fun of myself and I started making fun of the thing that hurt me the most, the thing I was the most insecure about, I feel like it set me free and it was no longer my secret. And no one else can no longer hurt me when it came to my teeth because I already put it out there. And that's the cool thing about having a sense of humor and having jokes is that, let's say you hate your toes. The minute you say, my toes are so ugly, I mean, who's like only a mother could love these toes. No one else can make fun of your toes because you already did it. So I think it kind of happened the same thing with my teeth. My friends kind of helped me turn my pain into a little fun joke. And it really did help me feel better. So that was already the first step into kind of realizing that maybe all this pain, a lot of it was kind of in my head and I had to kind of just like let some of it go. Like it was time to learn how to let some of that pain go and stop holding on to it. Anyway, so then I became daddy issues. I became daddy issues around 5 years ago and I was anonymous. And then only 3 years ago is when I decided to quote unquote come out. So when I decided I was going to come out as daddy issues, I was so nervous about people on social media judging me or being mean to me, that I told myself that is one thing I have to fix. People can tell me to kill myself. People can tell me to die. People could tell me I'm ugly, I'm disgusting, but I can't handle more people making fun of my teeth. So I remember I went to a dentist and out of my own pocket, I paid thousands of dollars to fix my teeth. And I got the type of like quote unquote Beverly Hills type of veneers. And Dr. Daniel Nason took care of me. Everyone check him out, Dr. Daniel Nason. He gave me the most beautiful veneers and he took such good care of me and he fixed my whole mouth. It did cost a pretty penny. It's $1,800 a tooth. So you do the math if it's my whole mouth. And I just knew I had to fix my teeth before I could become public. And when I got my teeth done 3 years ago, it was the first time in my life that I looked at myself in the mirror and I felt beautiful. And that was pretty cool. It was the first time that I finally felt okay with smiling. And I think it was one of the first times that if someone told me that they liked my smile, that I believed them. And it was the most amazing feeling because my whole life I just wanted to feel beautiful and it finally happened. I think it had to do with how I felt about myself versus how I actually looked. Because that's the thing about self-esteem and loving ourselves. I think it's more based on how we feel versus what we really look or how we sound or what we do in life. And I think in that moment, I still didn't realize that it wasn't about looks and it had to do with how you feel inside. So in that moment, I had that shallow happiness that I felt beautiful. And I was like, this is it. My life will now be perfect because I'm beautiful and everything's going to happen for me now. I will never be sad again. You know, that's kind of how I thought. I mean, that one moment though was really cool. I never felt beautiful and it was the first time that I felt that. And it was amazing. And Dr. Daniel Nason gave me that. I know it sounds like I'm doing an ad right now, but I'm not. It just like, he gave me something that no one can ever take away. And that's when I was ready to quote unquote come out. And I constantly get compliments about how beautiful my smile is. And it always makes me laugh because I was, the thing I get the most compliments on is the thing I used to be the most insecure on. And people still have no idea though how bad my teeth are. Like, just, I would say a few months ago, I needed 2 root canals because my real teeth are underneath these veneers. And whenever people hear that I need a root canal, whatever, they always say like, oh girl, just brush your teeth. Because they don't know that I actually just have no enamel. So anything will cause cavities in my teeth and root canals. I did say, told myself that looking back now, I regret that I wasted so many years not liking myself. I regret that I never talked to anyone because it's crazy. But I practice talking about this. I sat with myself and I talked about this with myself. And there were a lot of emotions that I was feeling when I was saying it out loud with myself. And it's weird that right now when I'm recording and I'm talking about this with you guys, I'm able to get through this without crying the whole time because there's something about when you put the words out there, you set yourself free and nothing seems as bad as it really is. And even right now, I come to the realization that all this pain that I was holding in always constantly seemed worse than it really was. As now I'm saying it out there, it feels so much smaller. And I hope that's a good example of whatever pain you're going through that you feel bad about yourself. I hope that you talk to someone about it because that is one thing that I regret. Harboring all this pain, making myself feel all alone, holding on to pain and thinking I'm disgusting, not loving, wasting 27 years not loving myself. And accepting love that I thought that I deserved because to me, someone like me didn't deserve to be fully loved because I didn't realize this yet, but I didn't love myself. And it's all because some kids at 5 years old told me that I should stop smiling and that I should hate myself and kill myself. And I believe them. And the funny thing is that I carried that with me for so many years. And I'm sure those kids forgot that it even happened like a day or two later. I think a lot of times what bullies don't understand how much they can actually affect the people that they bully. And I hope that I was able to explain the story in the proper way. I'm sorry if I didn't say with all my emotions, this is really new for me to talk about and it feels weird. And I, of course, I didn't fully explain every single encounter and situation and the pain that I felt and how bad it is of what I was born with. But I'm still sure that most of you, that when you're listening to this, you feel like cheering me on because there's something about the underdog winning that makes us smile. And I think we grew up learning to cheer for the underdog because we secretly all see ourselves in them. So secretly, I think that we're all insecure and we all hate certain things about us. So when I'm sitting here and talking about my birth defect that I was born with, that I hated myself for so many years, maybe you can't relate to that part, but I'm sure there was something about yourself that you didn't like and you made you feel different. Something that you started to look at yourself in the mirror and after a while you didn't see yourself anymore. You saw someone much uglier. You saw someone that had a lot of flaws. You saw someone that you felt that no one could love. But when I was thinking about this today, I thought, what if somehow being different and feeling like an outsider is actually what helped us all fit in? I mean, it made me realize that my brand is not about being beautiful. It's about being different and feeling like a misfit and feeling like an outsider. I think I always felt like an outsider, but I don't think it had anything to do with my teeth. I think I was just always different. And I think most of the people listening to this podcast are different in your own way. And I think we all feel lonely. And I think we all feel we have days where we don't feel good about ourselves. And I think instead of making each other feel good, we bring other people down. We bully other people down because we don't feel good about ourselves. So I think when those bullies made fun of me, it's because they had their own issues. And I wish I didn't take it so personally. I wish I sat and I talked to someone about it. But I didn't know any better when I was younger. But that's the funny thing about feeling insecure is that we don't realize that we're not the only ones. We don't realize that the club of insecure people is really full. It's like the whole world. Every single person has been insecure. And not even once in their life. Once a week. From the prettiest Victoria's Secret model to Angelina Jolie, they've all been insecure. And I think when I finally eventually realized that everyone is just as insecure as me, if not more, it's kind of what helped me feel at ease. And hopefully it'll make you feel at ease too. But hey guys, me again with another cool partner that we have with Too Tired to Be Crazy. This one is called Modern Fertility. If you're getting old like me and you're single, you may want to look into this. So I just think, you know, knowledge is power. When you know more, you can make better decisions for your body, for your health, and for your future. And there's not really bigger decisions than, you know, having a child. But sometimes your fertility is a big question mark. And this modern fertility is not just for people, women who are getting older and want to have a baby. It's also to let you know if you're fertile. Because, you know, we're always thinking of the next step in our career and our relationship, but I don't think sometimes we think ahead when it comes to having a baby. And I know women are having children later in life now, but biology has not changed. And your clock is still ticking, is what they're trying to say. So modern fertility comes in and it helps you figure out whether or not you're fertile and the days you are fertile and whether or not you can have kids and all that awesome, great stuff that we try to not think about. And they make it easy. So if you want more information about your ability to get pregnant, then you need Modern Fertility. It's quick and easy hormone test that they even sent to my house that I'm going to be doing. And whether you're thinking of trying to have a baby now or you just want to know your options for the future, like for example, I'm not trying to get pregnant tomorrow, so whoever I'm sleeping with, please don't block me and ever speak to me again. But I am interested to know if I can have a baby in the future, so that's why I'm going to be taking this test. You can even take it while on birth control, which is what I'm on. The results are delivered within 10 days and you get a personalized dashboard with basically insight into how many eggs you have, hormone levels, and any reproductive red flags. You can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse or use the timeline tool to plan ahead. So basically, when you're trying to do all of this, if you're doing this through your doctor, it can cost you around a few thousand dollars. But with Modern Fertility, you can get the same information for just $159, which is pretty neat. So right now, Modern Fertility is offering my listeners $20 off of the test when you go to modernfertility.com/violet. Once again, that's modernfertility.com/violet. And that's $20 off of your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/violet. This podcast doesn't stop at the part where I said, oh, I fixed my teeth and then I felt beautiful and now my life is perfect. Because guess what? Guess how long I was able to enjoy my quote unquote outside beauty before I felt bad about myself again? Maybe about 6 months. I had that one moment that I looked at myself and I felt beautiful for the first time and I cried. And then that went away after 3 to 6 months before I was able to start finding new things to hate about myself. Because lo and behold, there was this little thing called social media and it's tearing us apart and it's putting us down and it's making us feel bad about ourselves. And I know I'm not alone in this because it makes me feel like shit some days and I know it makes you feel like shit some days too. And that's the moment that I realized that being beautiful has nothing to do with what you look on the outside. Because what I needed to fix wasn't my teeth at all, even though I actually did need to fix my teeth. But as a metaphor, it wasn't about fixing my teeth to help me feel beautiful. I had to fix the way I felt about myself. And that's what this podcast is really, and this episode is really about. It's not about if you fix a one little part about the way you look, you will now love yourself. It's about how you really feel about yourself. And that's why after 6 months, I couldn't hold on to that one feeling of feeling beautiful. That feeling disappeared again because I still didn't learn how to love myself. I still had in the back of my head that I was this disgusting person because I believed people who told me that I was. And eventually, I didn't need bullies anymore to put me down. I became my own bully and I was putting myself down because I knew that if someone wanted to hurt me or put me down on social media, I was thinking like, go ahead. Because anything you say to me, it's not something I haven't already said to myself. I'm not different than any of you guys. Sometimes I sit on Instagram and I go through all these pretty girls' IGs and then I wonder to myself, how do you compete with all these beautiful girls? I mean, there are so many of them. They literally just come out of thin air now. I mean, they're starting to be beautiful now at 12. Like, these girls are not even going through puberty anymore. They don't get to experience the ugly phase like we did when we were younger. They just go from like kid to straight to beautiful with like 500,000 followers. And these 12-year-olds look like they're 18 too. It's mortifying. I'm not gonna lie, these 12-year-olds, these 17-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 25-year-olds, there's so many of them. It makes me feel so insecure sometimes. And it makes me start to think, well, my lips are not big enough. My teeth are too big. I mean, now my teeth are too big. I mean, before my teeth were perfect, but guess what? Now I feel like my teeth are too fucking big. And people have told me that I have a horse smile. And guess what? Fuck you. I don't care. sometimes I feel like the black circles under my eyes are just ridiculous. And I wish my eyebrows were thicker. And my eyes, sometimes I wish my eyes were smaller because sometimes I feel like they're really scaring people off with how big they are. My cheeks are too fat and my chin is too small because someone told me I should get a chin job and I believe them. And now as I'm getting older, all my fat is going to my chin and I can't smile or laugh without having a triple chin. And it always looks like I'm hungry for some reason. And now again, I hate looking at myself in videos. I don't like pictures of myself because I feel like I look fat in half of them. And that's, by the way, only my face. Don't even get me started about everything I hate about my body. Now when I look at myself in the mirror, I stop loving myself and I start to point out all my flaws. And it's exhausting, not just for me. It's exhausting to talk about it, and I'm sure it's exhausting for you to hear about it, and I'm sure it's exhausting for you because you can probably relate. We all go through this because you're not alone. And I had a conversation with my mother, and I told her that I was getting tired of competing with these 19-year-olds, and she asked me, why do you need to compete with these 19-year-olds? In the end of the day, there's only one of you. You can only be yourself. And I feel like that really open up my eyes. And in that moment, I felt like she was really right. Because why am I trying to compete with these girls who I can never look like, who are also much younger than me? And when there's only one of me, it helped me remember that it's all in my head, that we constantly judge ourselves and knock ourselves down more and more than we need to. We lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves that we're ugly, that if we look like this girl or like that girl, or we acted like her or like her, then I would get the job. Then I would get the man. Then I would be richer. Then I would get out of bed. I'm not doing anything with my life because I look like this. But if I didn't look like this, then I would be somebody. But I realize now that it's never been about what we really look like. It's always been about how we feel about ourselves. And it brings me back to an old episode of mine that I talked about, the story that I heard on a TED Talk. Where this lady was married for 20 years and she was going through a brutal divorce. She finally went on her first date. And when she went on her first date, she was so excited. She was just excited to find love again. She was ready. She took her vulnerable heart and she put herself out there and she was ready. And she went on her first date. And within 10 minutes, the man got up. He looked at her and he said, look, I'm just not attracted to you. I'm not interested. This isn't going to work out. And he walked out. And she called her best friend. And she told her what happened. And her best friend said, well, why are you so surprised? You are kind of ugly. I mean, you're basically super average. Your job is whatever. You're boring. You have nothing interesting to talk about. You haven't accomplished anything. You're kind of fat. So of course he left. He left because he's going to be with someone who he deserves. You don't deserve a man like that. And of course, anyone that would hear a story like this would be surprised by it. Because you're thinking, why would her friend be so mean to her? But what if I told you that it wasn't her friend that was so mean to her? It was her talking to herself. Because the truth is, when we give advice to our friends, we always lift them up. But for some reason, when we give advice to ourselves, we knock ourselves down even more. Whenever we feel down, instead of healing our heart and healing ourselves like we do with physical pain, we knock ourselves down even more as if we deserve it, as if we're so disgusting, as if we're so unloved that we deserve to really just crush ourselves. And when we're feeling the lowest and the most down is when we hurt ourselves even more. And we tell ourselves that we deserve this type of pain, that we're disgusting, that we're ugly, that we're not worthy, we're not enough. And that's why it brings me back to this point that it's always been about how we feel and how we make ourselves feel. And as long as we feel bad about ourselves, no one else will ever be able to make us feel good about ourselves. It doesn't matter how many boob jobs you're going to get and how much plastic surgery you'll get. Because if you don't love yourself on the inside, you will never love yourself in general. I always remind myself that I don't need to compete with anyone else but myself. What's important to me now is that I can be a better person than I was yesterday. Because I may not be the prettiest girl in the room, which I've accepted that. Or the youngest, because I keep getting older. Or the smartest. Or even the funniest. I mean, I guess. But I can be kind. And I can be brave. And I can learn to love myself and believe that I'm enough. Because if we don't learn how to love ourselves, how could anyone else? So this episode is more about how much I'm so fucking sick of all these beauty standards. I'm sick of everyone looking the same on Instagram. Aren't you? I'm sick of 20-year-olds looking like we're the same age. Bitch, I'm almost 31. Did you know that? No. Everyone thinks I'm 22 because I look like those other girls because they start getting work done now at 16. Because that's the beauty standards. That's what they're told is beautiful. And I feel bad for them that they're already fucking their face up so badly that I'm 30 and I look younger than them. And I'm telling you right now that these girls who are getting all this work done don't love themselves. And I know this because I waited 27 years to get my teeth done. I waited 27 years to finally love myself and it didn't work. When I fixed my teeth, I had a few months of feeling beautiful and then I went back to hating myself because I will never feel beautiful until I feel that on the inside. It has nothing to do with the outside. I don't want young girls to believe that that's the only way anyone will ever love them if they were beautiful on the outside, if they look the way these girls on Instagram look like. Because I learned that nothing changed after I got my teeth done because I never loved myself. And I don't know. On the way here, I kept thinking about it and I kept thinking about it and I thought, if being beautiful means only on the outside, that I don't want to fucking be beautiful anymore. I am so sick of wanting to be beautiful. My whole life, I want to be beautiful so other people will love me. And I thought that if I fixed my teeth, I would be beautiful enough for a man to love me and for my dad to be in my life and to get the job that I want and for everything to work out. But I now realize that that's not what being beautiful is about. If that's what being beautiful is, then I don't want it anymore. These days, to me, being beautiful is what's on the inside. I want to work on myself and be a better person every single day. I want to be able to move people with my writing and with my words. I want to make people feel something. I want to make people feel good about themselves. I want to make people smile. That's beautiful. I want to learn how to love people unconditionally and not hurt them anymore. I want to focus on things that come from within because I just don't fucking care anymore about being beautiful on the outside. And I know you're saying right now, well, Violet, you still post pretty pictures and so fuck your whole speech. But it's also my job. I don't have a choice. I have to post pretty pictures. But what I'm telling you is that I don't care about that anymore. My validation doesn't come anymore from how many likes I'm getting in a photo or if people are commenting and telling me that I'm beautiful. I feel the most beautiful when I make other people smile and I feel the most beautiful when I touch somebody's heart or I feel the most beautiful when I get messages from you guys and you tell me how much I helped you get through a hard time, whether it was with your partner or in life, whether it was with depression or from a job. And that's when I feel the most beautiful. So I want you to go back to that moment when you were looking at yourself in the mirror, whatever age that was. Just like my niece at 2 years old right now, she's looking at herself in the mirror and she's feeling so pretty and she loves looking at her own reflection. I want you to go back to that moment And I want you to remember that moment. Because I want you to go back to that mirror and look at yourself right now and remind yourself everything about you that's so beautiful, including your flaws. Because there will always be a prettier girl, a smarter girl, funny girl, whatever, but none of them will ever be you. And that's what makes you so unique. And that's what makes you so beautiful. Someone out there is going to love you for exactly who you are. And trust me, I've realized when I've searched for so many years of what beauty was that beauty starts within. And someone will love you for that. So that's my advice when it comes to self-love, is to constantly bring yourself up and remind yourself how amazing you are and how looks aren't everything. But if looks were, then you're so fucking beautiful because you have so much to offer. And maybe you won't look like that girl on Instagram, but guess what? She probably doesn't even love herself either. So I just want us to figure out a way, instead of bringing each other down because we feel bad about ourselves, to figure out how we can bring each other up. I want us to try to figure out how we can be beautiful in other ways, whether it's to work really hard, to win math competitions, to become a scientist, to write things that will really touch people, or to love people unconditionally, to have a big heart. That's what makes you beautiful. Not a tiny, pretty little nose or big eyes and big lips, because that type of beautiful will fade. But what you have inside your heart will be there forever. And I know it sounds so cliche, but it's the truth. I'm telling you, I chased shallow beauty for 27 years and it was never enough until I was enough for myself. So I guess there was this this little thing that I wrote down, that one of my favorite quotes, and I also heard it in a TED Talk. It said, and if you can't see anything beautiful about yourself, get a better mirror. Look a little closer, stare a little longer, because there's something inside of you that made you keep trying despite everyone who told you to quit. You build a cast around your broken heart and you signed it yourself. They were wrong. Because maybe you didn't belong at a group or a clique. Maybe they decided to pick you last for basketball or everything. Maybe you used to bring bruises and broken teeth to show and tell, but never told, because how can you hold your ground if everyone around you wants to bury you beneath it? You have to believe that they were wrong. They have to be wrong, because why else would we still all be here? And I agree. I think you're all beautiful. I think I'm beautiful. I think we all have beautiful hearts. And I hope that's one thing you can take away from this episode, is that you're going to love yourself. And it comes from within. And that we're all so fucking different and we're all misfits. And love who you want to love, but first make sure to love yourself. And I love you for being different. And let's do a little cheer for all the misfits. Anyway, you guys, of course, I would eventually cover more about my birth defect. I couldn't just do it all in 1 hour. I want to focus on other things. And if you ever have any moments where you're feeling down about yourself, listen to this episode again. Or also, what you can do is, I've done this before, is when I have moments I felt down, I look in the mirror and I start telling myself compliments. And it's really hard and it's really awkward. And I always cry because I'm so uncomfortable, but it feels good. And I think you should try that. But guess what? When I sit and I look at myself in the mirror and encourage myself to love myself, I don't sit in front of the mirror and say, oh, your hair's so beautiful. You have a nice nose. I tell myself, you have a good heart. You're so loving. Anyone would deserve to have you. I'm so proud of you, of how much you've grown as a person. I love who you're becoming. That's what makes you beautiful. And when I sit there in front of the mirror and say that to myself and I tear up, that's what makes me feel beautiful. So yeah, again, try to do that. If that doesn't work, you write compliments to yourself on your arm. And every time you feel bad about yourself or insecure, just look down your arm. And last but not least, get the fuck off of social media. You don't always have to be on it every 2 seconds. Follow people who make you feel good about yourself. Be friends with people that encourage you to be the best you can be. If people make you feel bad about yourself, maybe you're surrounding yourself with the wrong people. Maybe you're following also the wrong accounts. You have to remember that social media is not our reality. It's not real, okay? So if you're ever looking on social media and you're starting to feel bad, then put away the phone and figure out ways to make yourself feel good, because there's more to life than looks. Trust me, I realize that. So anyway, that's it for my episode. I would love it. I would love to hear some feedback from you. So if you can leave me some awesome little reviews on my podcast, I would appreciate it a ton. You have no idea how much I appreciate your reviews. And then if you have any questions, feel free to DM me on Too Tired to Be Crazy on Instagram and also on Violet Benson, my Instagram. Don't forget to also check out my YouTube page where I post all these episodes on there. It's Violet Benson - Too Tired to Be Crazy. I will have real YouTube videos on there soon as well, some vlogs and things like that. I'm excited to announce that I've decided by the end of next year, I'll be releasing 3 books. One about dating, how to not suck. One is going to be a bunch of love poems to my ex-lovers, future lovers, and about life and depression, all that. And then one is going to be about sex. The poem book is going to be probably the first one that's going to come out next year. And I'm really excited about it. I'm just going to pour all my feelings into it. As you know, I'm incredibly emotional. And I'm really excited for it. So I hope you guys will be just as excited when it finally comes out. So, you know, stay tuned and wait for it. And again, I love you guys. Don't forget to leave me a review. Please, 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 I beg you. And DM me if you have any questions. And last but not least, don't forget to love yourself. Bye.